Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 18. We're continuing our series looking at the lives of the prophets Elijah and Elisha, and we were in 1 Kings 18 last time we got together, and we saw this aspect that, and the question we were asking, is God calling me to live and minister in silence, or is he calling me to speak up? We looked at the life of Elijah, and we saw that there are times that God calls his servants to minister in silence, but there are times where he calls them to speak up, speak the truth in love. Today we have two other aspects we're going to look at. So last time we looked at this concept of silence and speech. This morning we're going to look at choices we make. Life and death. Life and death. Every day we're faced with choices to make. In fact, many have described life as a series of choices. Each day, from the moment you get out of bed till the time you lay your head down at night, you are confronted with a series of choices. And ultimately, each of these choices will either lead to life or death. Every choice you make, either it will lead to life or death. I mean, think about it. Maybe you're trying to choose lunch. It's like, do I eat at Core Life or McDonald's, right? Or maybe you're trying to decide which line will I get into. Am I going to, you know, get into this line? And what? Every time I choose a line, it's probably the same choice you make. It's always the wrong line, right? I want you to understand this morning that this message is not a pro-choice message. It is a pro-life message. What do I mean by that? The choices that we make as individuals always lead to death. They're always the wrong choice. Scripture says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Left to ourselves to make a choice without the mercy of God and the call of His Spirit, without the words of the prophets or the words of Scripture, you and I, left to our own devices, will always choose that which leads to death every single time. And even think about the issue that some of you began to think about when I used the term pro-life and pro-choice. Somebody who makes a pro-choice choice, where does that lead? It leads to death. But it's not just that issue. It's every issue in front of our culture. The choices we make, even if we believe that they are going to give us life and satisfaction and they are the way that leads to peace, given the state of our hearts separated from a holy God, every choice you and I make eventually leads to death apart from Christ. There's one choice that we are confronted with, and I want to confront you with this morning. It is to choose Christ. Remember when we began the series in 1 Kings, we said, when given a choice, do what? Choose Christ. So this morning, my plea for you is a pro-life message. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about even personal morality. What I'm saying to you first and foremost is to choose Christ. Choose to please Christ above all. Choose to worship Him. Choose to live your life not for your own desires, your own will, but in order to please Christ and do the will of the Father alone. That is the choice before us this morning. And every day when you get out of bed, you are given and confronted with this choice. Will I live to feed the flesh? Is it about Core Life? And is it about Chipotle? Is it about, you know, feeding this hunger inside my flesh? Or am I living to feed the Spirit, to please God? Every choice you make is a choice and a decision you have to make. Will I live to please myself, feed my flesh today, or will I live in order to please Christ? Do I choose my will, or do I choose the will of the God whom I serve? Today, this message puts forward life and death. Those who choose to follow Christ choose life. And those who reject Christ have already made a choice. If you have not chosen to follow Christ, live according in accordance to obedience in Christ, your choice is already made. Your choice and every choice you make in life will eventually lead to death and destruction. Every generation has a choice to make. It cannot be passed along or kicked down the road. You can't kick the can down the road, but every generation is confronted with this choice. Let's pray, and hopefully you're in 1 Kings 18, and we'll begin in verse 20. But let me pray, and then we'll take a look at our text this morning. Dear Holy Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. I pray that as we study the scripture this morning, that we will hear the words of life. And Lord, at the end of this time together, we will see one thing, and that is Christ alone. That we will purpose in our hearts to live in obedience to Him, to do His will, not our own will, understanding, Lord, that the choices we make apart from the choice to follow Christ always leads to death. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and Lord, that you would even work inside of our wills, Lord, so that we could be conformed to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Every generation has a choice before them. Look at 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 20. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions, between two different choices?" This is essentially what he's saying. "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." You see, Elijah is putting this choice in front of the nation. And today, this is the choice in front of all of us. Stop kind of waffling between these two opinions. Make a decision today. Am I going to choose to follow Christ, or am I going to choose to follow the God of this age, or the idol of my heart? And the people did not answer him a word. They're like, we're not ready to make this choice, Elijah. Then Elijah said to the people, I am left a prophet, or I only am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal has prophets, or Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire on it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire on it. And you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourself one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire on it." And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. He is either musing or he is relieving himself." Maybe he's out, you know, using the bathroom. That's why he doesn't hear you. You can see Elijah had a sense of humor. Or maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and he must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. This is probably around 3 o'clock. It's a reference to the evening temple sacrifice in Jerusalem. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. I want you to hear that. That no one answered. No one paid attention. Verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Most likely it was torn down by Jezebel and her prophets. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones he built the altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two seeds, a seed, maybe about 14 and a half, 15 liters. And he put the wood in order and cut the bowl in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. You see, he's making it more difficult here. Each choice he is making, he's making it harder for him. He says, "You choose the bowl. You choose, you go first." And then once he prepares his altar, he says, "Now let's douse it with water. Let's make this impossible. Let's soak the wood. Let's soak the offering." So they do that. Verse 36, "And at the time of the offering of the oblation," again around 3 o'clock, "Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape.' And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slaughtered them there." Every generation has a choice to make. This is one of the greatest, you know, battles between, you know, God and the gods of, you know, Canaan in all history. This is this great confrontation. But really, what is at the heart of the story? It is this idea that Israel had to make a choice, and the choice was simple. Would they choose to follow the God of heaven, or would they choose to follow the gods of their nation or the idols of their heart? And that is the choice every generation needs to make. Israel was confronted with this choice. Would they serve the Lord or Baal? Would they choose life or death? Would they choose to live according to God's blessings, or would they receive the curses contained in the law for their disobedience and rejection of God? We've already seen that each generation has this choice to make, and that the choice of each generation impacts the next generation behind them. Remember when we looked at the laws of legacy, that each generation is confronted with these choices and they must choose, will I serve God or will I serve myself, my own interests, the gods of the nation around me? Will I live my life for the idols of my heart? And the choice that each generation makes, it leaves a legacy, or it impacts the next generation, either positively or negatively. This morning, moms and dads, parents, you are confronted with a choice, and the choice you have made with your life is going to impact the generation following you, your children and grandchildren. We see this very clearly, and God puts this forward to the nation as He calls them to Himself in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He says, I am a jealous God, a consuming fire, around verse 24. He says, when you father children and children's children, when you have kids and grandkids, and they have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything, and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so to provoke him to anger, I will call heaven and earth as a witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. Every generation has a choice to make, and the choice that you make today is going to impact the generations that follow you, your children and grandchildren. Scripture continues to record the choices that Israel made throughout their history, and we see that Moses' generation had a choice to make, this first generation that possessed the land. Deuteronomy chapter 30, between verses 15 and 20, Moses stands before the nation. They are presented God and his law, and they're called to worship him and him alone. And again, Moses calls heaven and earth as a witness. And he says to the nation, he says, I have set before you life and death, the blessings and curses, in verse 19. And then he says this, therefore choose life that you and your offspring, or you and your children and grandchildren, may live. Moses' generation had a choice to make. What was the next generation after Moses? The generation of Joshua. And we see in Joshua 24, verse 14, Joshua stands before the nation as the prophet of God, and he calls the nation once again to make a choice. It wasn't enough that Moses called the nation to make a choice. The next generation now was there, and they had a choice to make. And just as Moses stood before the nation and he pleaded with the people for the benefit of themselves and their children and grandchildren to choose Christ, choose life, choose to follow the God of heaven, Joshua stands before the nation and calls the nation to make the same choice in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. And he calls the nation, he says, you have a choice. Either you can choose the gods of the land in which you are now, or you can choose to fear and serve the Lord in sincerity. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, in verse 15. He calls the nation to make a choice. And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fathers, mothers, grandmas, and grandfathers, I'm exhorting you today, this generation in front of me, thousands of years later, you have the choice to make again. And as I stand here behind the Word of God, I'm calling us to make a choice. When you get out of bed, live your life in order to please the God of heaven. And not only for your benefit, but Scripture makes it clear, for the benefit of your children and grandchildren. Fathers, make that choice today. Mothers, make that choice today. Choose today whom you will serve. Every day you get out of bed, am I going to live for my life for myself, or am I going to live my life for the God of heaven, for the benefit of my children and grandchildren? It's a choice before every generation. And Elijah, as he stood before the nation, he said, I've made my choice. Now you need to choose. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Elijah's generation here, again, just as Moses stood before the nation, just as Joshua stood before the nation, here Elijah, the prophet of God, stands before the nation again in chapter 18, verse 21, and he calls this generation to make the choice that every generation needs to make. And we see that in verse 21 again. Let me read it again. He says, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. Each generation must make a choice. Each nation needs to make a choice. Each generation needs to make a choice. But ultimately, each individual family and each individual person needs to make that choice. We find record, we already talked about it, Ahab's legacy. Ahab's choice was made, and he stood before the nation, and he made his choice. We saw that in 1 Kings 16. What was his choice? He chose Baal. He chose, we also see in 1 Kings 16, 30 through 33, he chose Baal, but he also chose to marry Jezebel, the daughter of the priest of Baal. He made a choice to please himself. He chose to walk in the way of his father, we see in these verses as well. Yes, his father had made his choice, but there was a time for Ahab. It didn't matter. Yes, his father was a bad example, left him a terrible legacy, but that does not exempt Ahab from the personal responsibility to say, all right, now what will I do? Now that it is my time to choose, will I choose to walk in the way of my father, or will I choose to follow the God of heaven? And Ahab made his choice. He chose wrongly. He chose death. In fact, this passage here in 1 Kings 16 says very clearly that he chose to do evil. He chose to provoke the Lord to anger. The New Testament records the choice before the nation when Christ came in the flesh. And we see in John chapter 6 that Jesus calls the nation of Israel in the New Testament to make a choice. His generation needed to make a choice, the generation of Peter. In fact, he even confronts Peter and the disciples in a very intimate way, and he says, what are you guys going to do? The nation's turned its back on me. This generation has made its choice. They've chose to reject Christ. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave me as well? Every generation, the generation of Jesus, the generation of Peter, was confronted with a choice. Will they choose Christ or will they reject him? Our generation has this choice this morning. And what is that choice? It is simply this. What is the exhortation this morning? It is simply this. Choose life. Choose Christ. You must make a choice. It's not enough that your parents brought you to church this morning. You need to make a choice for yourself. It's time today for you to decide, what will you choose? And this story really begs us to answer three questions, and they're very simple questions. We find them directly in the text. First of all, we see the first question I want you to consider this morning in application to this message is this: how long will it take you to make up your mind? We see that in verse 21. Where he says, how long will you limp between two different opinions? How long is it going to take you to decide? And that's the question I want you to make this take this morning and answer before the Lord. Say, all right, Lord, when am I going to get serious? When am I going to finally make the decision to reject the idols of my heart, the God of this nation, and living for myself, rejecting Christ? Or when am I finally going to get serious, turn from my sin and turn to Christ and serve you and serve you alone? How long am I going to waffle between, you know, these two different opinions? 2 Corinthians 6, 2 says, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to decide. 2 Peter tells us very clearly that it's time to make up our mind. Why? Because God says in 2 Peter that chapter 2, he says, you better believe that God is one day going to lose his patience with you, and one day he is going to judge and judge with fire. Do you believe that? One day, God is going to return and judge mankind. Are you ready for that judgment? Decide today. Today's the day to make up your mind. The second question from our text is found in verse 18, where Elijah claims to be the only prophet. He said, I'm the only prophet of God left. I'm the only one, it seems, who's faithful to God in all the nation. But look at Baal. Look at your king. Look at everyone else. There's 450 prophets of Baal. Let me ask you a question this morning. How popular is your choice? If you've chosen to follow Christ and Christ alone, I'm going to tell you, it's not the popular choice. It's not the choice of this generation. If you look around at our nation, if you look at around the world today, if you look at around those who are in leadership, they have all made their choice. They have chosen to reject Christ, reject His Word. And this generation that we look at, this nation as at large, even the church is guilty itself of rejecting Christ. And they have chosen to live for themselves. But you and I have a choice to make. It doesn't matter how many people around us have made the choice to follow the gods of this nation or the idols of our heart. One of the ways you know you've made the right choice in life is that it's a lonely choice. It's not the popular choice. And Jesus encourages you and I today to enter the narrow gate. He says in Matthew 7, For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. If you find this morning that the choice you've made is a very popular one, there's a good chance you are on the wrong path. And then finally, let me ask you a question. If you've made your choices, choosing, am I going to choose to follow Christ, or am I going to choose to follow the gods of this nation and the idols of my heart? Let me ask you a question. How's your choice working out for you? How's that choice working out for you? And in the rest of the story, beginning in verse 23 through 24, we see how this choice works out for the nation. And the people and the prophets of Baal, they cried out and they cried out for their gods to answer them. And what happened? There was no answer. And what do we have? We've had a nation who has rejected God today. We've had a generation. We live in a generation has rejected God, and they're crying out, the God of heaven, and they're crying out to false gods to answer their prayers. And they cry out from their hearts, "Oh, Baal, save us." And they cut themselves. We have a generation that is hurting and are brokenhearted. And they're crying out to the false gods, false idols, to answer their prayers. And out of desperation, they cut themselves. They turn to drugs and alcohol, sexual sin and immorality because of their pain in answer to this hole inside of them. And they give themselves to the gods of this nation, the gods of this generation, to the idols of their heart, and they cry out, and they'll do anything for those gods that they follow and serve to just hear them and answer them. But the things that they do in order to get the attention of their false gods only drives them to further loneliness and isolation and divides them from life. And they might cut themselves, and I see our generation does this, so many young people, out of desperation in answer to their prayers and their pain, they cry out to the gods of this generation, and they cut themselves, and what they do does not answer, but only drives them further away from life, further into isolation, and no one hears them, no one sees them, and now they begin to hide their pain and their suffering. How's that working out for you? You can reject the God of heaven, and you can dance around and cry out in so many ways. We have a generation today who's crying out in so many ways before the gods of this nation and this generation that someone would hear them and answer their prayers. And at the end of all of it is silence, because their gods cannot answer, their gods cannot speak, their gods cannot give life, their gods cannot fill the hole and the hurt and their broken hearts and their broken spirits. There is only one God who can answer, and that is the God of heaven. In this generation, and maybe some people in this room, you're crying out to the wrong God, and I understand where you're at. You're willing to do anything to be heard, to be seen, but what you're doing is only driving you further into darkness and away from the life-giving Spirit of God. You see, our God is not like the gods of this nation and the idols of your heart that cannot answer your prayers. Our God hears from heaven. In fact, let me turn your attention just quickly in the next couple minutes to the prayers of the righteous, those who choose Christ. Just as Elijah called out to the God of heaven and he answered him with power and might and fire. I want you to see the difference between the gods of this nation and this generation and the idols of your heart in comparison to the God of heaven. First of all, we see Scripture tells us the Lord invites. Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord invites you to call on his name. Not only does the Lord invite, the Lord delights. And he doesn't delight in sacrifice and all the things you do to perform before him like Baal. Baal wants your blood. Baal wants your sacrifice. But what does God want from you? I'll tell you what he wants. He wants you right where you are with a broken spirit and contrite heart. If you are hurting and lonely and empty and broken, that's all God wants. He wants you to come before him in your brokenness, in your loneliness, in your desperation, and cry out for mercy and help in a time of need. And the Lord delights in this type of sacrifice. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Today, if you are hurting, today, if you are broken, today, if you feel that no one hears you, no one sees you, that your prayers aren't answered, humble yourself before the God of heaven. Confess your sin to him, and he will answer you. He will hear you. Scripture says in Psalm 34:17, not only does the Lord invite, but the Lord hears you. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near. He's not like Baal, who is far away, perhaps using the bathroom or on some journey. When those call, when you call upon the name of the Lord, he is near, but he hears you. He is near. Look at Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. Or Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The gods of this generation, the idols of your heart, cannot answer you. They cannot give you what you are looking for. All they can give you is death and further separation and a greater burden. But the Lord is near. And finally, those who call upon the name of the Lord, those who call on the God of heaven, what do they find? Salvation, a help in a time of trouble. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Not so with Baal. Not so with the idols and the gods of this generation. You call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. You call upon a false god, a false hope, and you will find destruction, misery, and death. This morning, our generation, we've seen at large, has made a choice. But the real question is what choice have you made? Because all of us have a choice to make. Will you choose Christ? Will you choose to follow the gods of this generation? Will you choose life or will you choose death? Will you choose blessings or will you choose the curse that comes from rejecting Christ? This morning, I exhort you, I encourage you, I ask you, like Moses stood before the nation, like Joshua stood before the nation, like Elijah stood before the nation, as Jesus Christ himself stood before the nation, I encourage you, I exhort you to choose Christ, choose life, and live.